Talk radio for Catholic life to start your day.
Morning Air
on Relevant Radio with Glenn Leverenz. Here's your host, John Harper.
Good morning. 3 minutes after the hour, Thursday, January 21st, 2021. Joseph R. Biden Jr.'s first full day as president of the United States. Yesterday, in his inaugural speech, talking about a theme of unity for all Americans.
I've never been more optimistic about America than I am this very day. There isn't anything we can't do if we do it together.
And you know that God desires that you and I, as his baptized children, live in visible unity, living in Christian unity. We'll talk about that later in this hour with Father James Kubicki. Also, Bishop Donald Hying from the Diocese of Madison, Wisconsin, is with us today, and we're going to celebrate the conversion of St. Paul, a feast day that's coming up next week. We'll talk about that and much more, but as we begin this brand new day, we begin in prayer, and we invite you to join us for the morning offering. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer you my prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day for all the intentions of your Sacred Heart, in union with the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world, for the salvation of souls, the reparation of sins, the reunion of all Christians, and in particular for the intentions of the Holy Father this month. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Five after the hour now on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. The Feast of the Conversion of St. Paul is January 25th. Have you had a conversion in your life? That moment that Saul had on the road to Damascus? Let's talk about that with Bishop Donald Hying, the Bishop of the Diocese of Madison, Wisconsin. Blessed to have him as a part of our faith family here on Morning Air. Bishop Hying, good morning. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Good morning, Sean and Glenn. Always a joy to be with you.
It's always great to talk to you as well. I always think about those times when I was on the road to Damascus and those times that I just kind of passed and looked by and said, oh, that's a nice gentleman standing by the side of the road, and I kept going on.
Right. I've always been taken with the Feast of the Conversion of St. Paul, which is next Monday, January 25th, because it's the only liturgical celebration of an individual's conversion. I can't think of another feast day that marks someone's conversion. And of course, the church does so because of the significance of St. Paul, which all pivots on his conversion. As we know, he was this zealous Pharisee, wanting to stamp out this Jesus movement, feeling that it was blasphemy and heresy, as he understood Judaism, was complicit in the stoning death of St. Stephen, and he's on his way to Damascus to put more Christians in prison when, you know, he's blinded by this light. He hears this voice say, you know, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He answers, who are you, sir? And Jesus says, you know, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. And Saul is blinded. He's led by the hand to the house of Ananias, who's a prominent Christian. He's baptized, and he becomes Paul, and of course, one of the greatest apostles, the apostle to the Gentiles. So his conversion is significant because he mentions it, he refers to it three times in Acts of the Apostles. So I'm sure he often went back to that moment because that was kind of the fulcrum or the pivot of his entire life. And so he went back to that, draw strength, purpose, and meaning.
Bishop Hying, what do we learn about, at first, how the other disciples were, they weren't sure about this Paul guy being on their side? And what can we learn about that experience and how we welcome new believers?
Yeah, I think, you know, who can blame them? You know, here's this man who is trying to kill them, and all of a sudden he's claiming that he's experienced Christ, and now he's on their side. So no one can blame them, I think, for being a little suspicious. But the sincerity of his belief and, of course, the tremendous efficacious fruit of his preaching and his ministry, it proved his sincerity. But I think, number one, it shows us that we should never give up hope on anyone, you know, that anyone is ripe for conversion, no matter how hardened or difficult or impossible that may seem. So I always think, in a sense, God has this tricky sense of humor, you know, that he looks down and he sees this guy who's giving him the hardest time, and it's like, I'm gonna get him. You know, I'm gonna refocus his energy, his passion towards building up Christianity instead of tearing it down. And I think number two, it means that we can never give up on ourselves, that even when we sin and fall and fail in our mission as Christian disciples, that their humility just calls us to get up again and to surrender. And, you know, Saul became Paul, who became, you know, the apostle to the Gentiles. And I'm just absolutely astonished by Paul, because when you think about it, the Gospels were not yet written, so he has no written blueprint of this message. He was not one of the 12, so he did not know Jesus in the flesh. He spends some time with the apostles learning more, but in the end, I believe what he says in Galatians, when he says, no one taught me these things. I was directly taught by the Holy Spirit. And it's Paul's vision that, you know, the church is for everybody, that it's not simply the fulfillment of Judaism, but it's a new covenant in the blood of Christ. His point of view wins out over that of Simon Peter, which, again, is astonishing.
How do we fine-tune, Bishop Hyang, our spiritual radar? We may not all have that Paul gets knocked off his horse moment, but with God's tricky sense of humor, as you say, that conversion may come in whispers, may come through a friend, may come in the most unusual way. How do we become attuned to that, to not miss those opportunities?
I really think the most precious opportunities for conversion come to us in the shape of the cross. And I don't know if you've seen the film. It's called Paul, Apostle of Christ. It was in the theaters in 2018. Jim Caviezel plays St. Luke. But it's a remarkable film. And the essential tension in the film is between Paul and the Roman official who's in charge of the prison where Paul's imprisoned in Rome, Moritius, I think his name is. And there's this astonishing moment right before he orders Paul's death where Paul says to this Roman, I pray that one day God will strip you of all of your defenses, take away everything that you rely on. And in that moment, you will come to realize that you are absolutely known by God and perfectly loved by him. And that line has stuck with me because I think in the end, conversion comes about when we're stripped of our defenses, our securities, you know, the things that we rely on to prop up our sense of self-reliance. So when all that's kicked out from underneath us, then God can be God. And we come to realize that only God can satisfy us, sustain us, and ultimately save us. That left to our own devices, we can't do this on our own. So when you think about Paul's conversion moment, you know, in that moment, his self-righteousness, his anger, his entire sense of who he thought he was is just completely shattered. And he's literally born again, you know, as a son of the light and as a disciple of Christ. And so I think it's those moments that we want to run away from the most that, in essence, contain within themselves the hidden gem of conversion. It always comes in the shape of the cross.
Bishop Hyang, we might think, wow, that was pretty exciting, that conversion of Paul, and we would like the feeling of some kind of really major occurrence like that in our lives. For those that were cradle Catholics or people that always remembered having their faith and maybe can't remember a knock-you-off-the-horse moment, as it were, is there a danger for desiring that feeling more than just knowing the reality of that we are Christ's?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's a very wise point, Glenn, because feelings are fickle. You know, feelings come and go. Today I can feel remarkably close to God. Tomorrow I may feel nothing at all, but that doesn't mean that God has changed in his stance towards me, and it doesn't even mean that I'm being less faithful. It may be, you know, a purification. So we can't train our spiritual attention on feeling. You know, it goes much deeper than that. It is tempting, though. When I hear certain people's dramatic conversion stories, there's always a little sense of, boy, I wish I had had something like that. But then, you know, hopefully I come to my spiritual senses and realize, you know, we each have our own path. We each have our own life history. And regardless of the external circumstances, the inner reality is the same, that God is calling us to live completely in relationship with him as a daughter, as a son of the Father, you know, in union with Christ. And regardless of the externals, every single day I have the opportunity to fall deeper in love with God and give myself to him in the circumstances of my life.
And don't you have that conversion? And it's as dramatic for you individually every time you walk out of the confessional. When you unpack the graces of that sacrament, that's your dramatic conversion. And that happens every time you walk into that sacrament.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. And then thinking when we receive the Eucharist at Mass as well.
Right.
So there's those powerful sacramental moments when the fullness of God is present to us, indeed enters into us. And you know, if every Catholic understood that and believed it, you know, we'd live in a different world and a different church.
So what do we do, even in our own families, to get them to that level?
Yeah, that's a good... I don't know if it's ultimately up to us. You know, I think all we can do is give witness to our faith. And you know, again, going back to St. Paul, think of the power of simply people witnessing his transformation. I'm sure many people came over to the Christian faith because, not only because of Paul's words, but because of his example. You know, here's someone who is trying to stamp out this movement who has suddenly become its most impassioned witness. So what's that all about? I mean, something deep and absolutely life-changing had to have happened in the soul and heart of this man, and what was it? So I think, you know, the most effective way we can witness to others is our own personal example of how we live a radiantly joyful, generous, forgiving, sacrificial life, you know, in love with God. That in and of itself will just overflow as a blessing, you know, into the lives of other people.
St. Paul's conversion, a dramatic story. So my, oh my, did he have a tale to tell. But sometimes do we underplay our own story as a great way to evangelize, just telling even the quiet ways that Christ has made all the difference in our lives?
No, that's exactly right. You know, in a culture that holds experience as primary, you know, I think to share our own experience of God, even if it's seemingly simple and non-dramatic, is certainly a beautiful way to evangelize. And I just think God gives us certain moments as kind of markers on the road to salvation. And the beauty of those living memories in our hearts. You know, for me, the day I was ordained a priest in 1989, I mean, God was so real that day, I could have just reached out and just touched him. And whenever I'm, you know, tired or anxious or overwhelmed, I just go back to that moment in my mind and in my prayer, and it's like sticking my finger into an electric socket. I mean, all of that power and energy of that day comes back to me. So I think if we thought about it, all of us have kind of those spiritual markers that right. God gives us as a grace, and they're not meant just for that moment. They're meant for the rest of our life, you know, and how Paul used his conversion for the rest of his life as kind of a direction and inspiration, a guide, you know, is an example for us.
The conversion of St. Paul the Apostle on January 25th, talking about that with Bishop Donald Hying from the Bishop of Madison, Wisconsin. As you talk about that, it always sticks in my mind because it was such a compelling story. The night that you're cleaning the deep fryer as a teenager working that job, that was a conversion moment when you heard John Paul II on the radio.
Yeah, that's right. And the power of radio, just to get that in there, right? So that experience would not have happened if it wasn't for radio. So just to lift up the relevance of radio.
There you go.
Pardon my pun here.
What words of St. Paul inspire you in your evangelization efforts as you try to create that conversion moment for another soul?
Mm-hmm. I think it's his absolute radical fidelity to Christ. You know, so when you look at his life, he suffered imprisonments, beatings, torture, shipwrecks, fasting, attacks from even Christians in his community, sometimes conflicts with the other apostles, you know, nights without sleep, days without food. And he's willing to do anything for the sake of spreading the gospel. And I think sometimes, you know, I can become so comfortable and kind of live in my bubble and, you know, drink my coffee and go to meetings. And, you know, for me, just the starkness of Paul's suffering and sacrifice for the sake of the gospel. I mean, it's like he was clearly willing to give it all, and he did. at the end, he's beheaded for his faith in Christ. This total emptying out of self. I mean, that's what serves for us as an example, I think, of evangelization. Are we willing to go that far? And to realize that Jesus will take us as far as we let him. That's so to pray this prayer of surrender that, you know, Lord, do with me whatever you will. When I can pray that and mean it, there's always a little bit of fear in there because I think, well, if I really mean this, what's God going to do with me, right? In a sense, I've lost control, but it's that sense of being seized by Christ, as Paul says in Philippians. It's no longer I, but Christ who lives in me. Christ has taken possession of me. I mean, Paul felt that in a very visceral sort of way in the depth of his spirit and in his guts, I think.
Well, Bishop Hying, the conversion of St. Paul obviously jump-started his faith journey. Should we keep our eyes peeled more for various consolations from the Lord, even if we didn't have that big dramatic experience, but kind of look for those little points along the way where the Lord says, yeah, I'm with you, I got you, and we have those warm feelings from time to time?
Absolutely, and Ignatius of Loyola would talk about that, you know, consolation and desolation. And at the end of the day, part of my examination of conscience at the end of the day is to thank the Lord for the consolations and graces given. And oftentimes, if I didn't pause to do that with intention, I would completely be oblivious to them. And oftentimes, they're small, but you know, with all of our trouble and problems, you know, we can just get up in the morning and just think this, our whole existence is a problem right now. But those moments of consolation, you know, make us remember that God is always at work and often in very subtle, hidden ways. And if we have the eyes to see the little seeds of grace, then our hearts become grateful, I think.
Bishop Hying, in this story of the conversion of St. Paul, we've been using the words emotion and feelings. How do we separate our feelings from faith? Because they can very easily mix even before we know that they've mixed.
Right. Yeah, I wouldn't completely dismiss feelings. You know, so I mean, we need to be, you know, the saints, especially Teresa of Avila, would say self-knowledge is a very essential component of the spiritual life. And part of ourself is our emotions. So to deny our emotions or simply to suppress them, I don't think is healthy either psychologically or spiritually. So we need to attend to our emotions, but we need to always remember that our emotions are not equivalent to our being, you know, that our emotions come and go. So when I have intense emotions of joy or devotion or love for God, you know, that's a beautiful thing, and I can praise God for that. It would be a mistake, though, to cling to that or think that when those emotions are not present, then to allow that to let me fall into desolation. And I think a married couple are a good example. I mean, think of how a couple who are married 45 years relate compared to a couple who are engaged, you know, and just what that looks like differently in terms of emotion or expression. Yet, if it's a healthy marriage, we'd say the couple married 45 years are more deeply in love with each other than they were at the beginning. But it's not necessarily so emotional or externally passionate, but because it's become so deeply embedded.
St. Paul had time to look back at how God had rescued him from shipwrecks and other various things, including rescuing him altogether with his conversion experience. Do we need to do a better job sometimes of looking back how God has helped us to power us into the future?
Yeah, how God has rescued us. And I think sometimes in prayer about the things that I don't even know God has rescued me from. And there's times I'll just say, thank you, Lord, for the things you've saved me from that I know nothing about. You know, times when maybe our guardian angel, you know, plucked us out of a situation of danger, or God protected us from just some accident or something terrible that would not be, you know, in accordance with his desire for us. Yeah, I think if we look at the whole Christ event as a rescue mission, there's time and time again that, you know, I've been rescued, you know, by the grace of Christ. And again, Paul felt that so intensely and gave his glory and praise to God through Christ. So I think when we realize we've been rescued from eternal death, then Mass takes on a whole new meaning for us. I often think, if you think of somebody who's had the experience of being literally saved, from a burning building, or were drowning in the ocean, and to think that in some cases the rescuer has traded his or her life for yours. Let's say fireman that saves you from a fire himself dies of smoke inhalation, or the person that saves you from drowning, that person drowns. And how would you feel about that person? That person literally traded his life for yours. When you understand the depths of that gratitude, you understand that Christ traded his life for ours. And so Mass becomes our public expression of gratitude for that rescue. Paul felt that very intensely, as did the saints. So I think until we realize what we've been rescued from, we're not going to fully understand what we've been rescued for, or more to it, who we've been rescued for.
I know you don't give out holy homework, Bishop Hying, but maybe our holy homework today with the conversion of St. Paul and our discussion about that is to really do the deep dive into Paul's letters that have become such a big part of the New Testament to really help us understand how we can have that very personal, that loving commitment to Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say Philippians and Galatians are my favorites, somebody wants some direction in terms of where to start. And they're pretty short, but think about the fact that Paul was really the first theologian, didn't have the Gospels as a guide, didn't know Jesus in the flesh, and yet in his letters, he's the first person to reflect intellectually on the implications of the Jesus event. And that's just so foundational for us. So much of Scripture at Mass comes from his epistles.
The conversion of St. Paul on January 25th, and just unpacking that this morning with Bishop Donald Hying, the Bishop of the Diocese of Madison, Wisconsin. Bishop Hying, as always, thank you for the generosity of your time. May we have your blessing this morning, please?
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless us in this new year, that we may go forth with joy, conviction, and generosity to give witness to Jesus crucified and risen. And we ask the intercession of St. Paul the Apostle in our desire to evangelize. And we ask this blessing, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Bishop Donald Hying from the Diocese of Madison, Wisconsin. Your Excellency, thank you. You're in our prayers.
Thank you. Likewise. God bless.